back here on News Radio WGNS, and welcoming in from the Child Advocacy Center, Brittany Noble and also Elizabeth Benton. And today we're going to spend a little time talking about internet safety and making sure that the kiddos are safe while online and things of that nature. Well, everybody. I guess these are good tips, Elizabeth, for everybody, really, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Well, good to have you here. Brittany, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, doing very, very well. Glad to have you both here. Well, Elizabeth, tell me what kind of brought this up here.
We just want to make sure that kids and also parents are aware of, you know, internet safety rules and just things to follow this summer while they're at home, alone, possibly with the Xbox, the phone, all of those, their cell phones, all those good things. So
there is an electronic device somewhere, and the kids just seem to have them in their hand all the time, whether it's the phone or a controller or something.
Exactly.
And so when you have that, you have the door wide open to whatever the worldwide web has to offer.
That's right. You can unknowingly welcome a perpetrator into your home through, you know, your cell phone or your Xbox or your iPad or whatever device you might have.
So as a parent concerned about that, maybe what are some things that parents should be on the lookout for?
Right. So some of the most important things are is make sure that you have your children's passwords to everything, and search those phones often. There's lots of apps out there that I hear about them in interviews, and I legitimately do not know what those apps are, and I have to get teenagers and kids to explain them to me to help me understand exactly what it is that they have access to. So making sure that you know what those apps are that are on your kids' phones or on their devices so that you know what it is that they're doing. Find out who they're talking to, what they're talking about, all of that kind of good stuff. And making sure that they know if someone that they don't know, which first off, they shouldn't be talking to someone they don't know, but if they are, never meet someone that you don't know out in the public.
I would think that part of gaming, and I'm no expert on this at all, but that you can play that particular game, play against or play in teams with people from all over the world.
That's right. I know Fortnite is one of the big ones right now, and you know, used to back in the day, if you wanted to play games with your friends, it was a two-player game and y'all were playing, you know, sitting next to each other. Now you can have your friend is down the street and you're at home and y'all are playing together,
right.
But you aren't even in the same house together. And then same thing, you've got someone across the country who's in on that game as well, and someone who might be saying, yeah, I'm 13 years old, but really that is not their age at all, and they're an adult, and they're gaining your child's trust by playing this game and getting to know them and getting to know their likes and dislikes and all of that kind of stuff.
What I have found is that it seems, Elizabeth, that children have no fear of this, you
right.
know, because they're very innocent in that respect. So
well,
it's
they're manipulated,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that we kind of forget is that we can say, my child wouldn't do anything like that, and she knows better, he knows better. But online, when they're alone with your child communicating with them, they're saying things like, well, what's your favorite movie? You know, that's mine too. What's your favorite game? That's mine too. And aren't you glad you have someone on the internet that you can trust? And so they gain this relationship with the child, and they're easily manipulated. And so when children are lured out of the home and something happens to them, they're victimized, they go willingly to meet these perpetrators 100% of the time if it involves the internet crime. So they're leaving their homes and then things are happening. So asking questions, who are you talking to online? How long are you going to be online? What are you doing? Where are you going? Those types of questions that we ask offline to keep our kids safe, we need to be asking those same questions for online too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think by doing those things, we can protect our kids on and offline.
Well, help us understand what happens in these meet situations. Because, I mean, gosh, it would sound like to me that the kid is going thinking they're going to meet up with a buddy that's their age that they've been playing this game with, and all of a sudden there's maybe some adult there or whatnot, right?
And sometimes they don't come back.
Right.
That's happened. I can't remember the national case that happened many years ago where a little girl, she was a straight A student. You know, again, her parents trusted her. Whatever she was doing online, her parents had trusted her. But what happened was she was introduced to a mutual friend online, but it was a perpetrator. And they had been talking for maybe 3-6 months. And then she decided to go and meet her friend. And of course, she never told her parents about this relationship online. And she never came back for many months until there was a large investigation and the FBI luckily found her. And now she's an advocate for child sexual abuse victims now. But these are things that we have to be aware of.
Most definitely. We have Elizabeth Benton and Brittany Noble joining us from the Child Advocacy Center. We were just kind of talking about some of the ways that as parents we need to make sure that our children are safe when they are when they're online and playing games, internet. We've talked a lot about the game side of things, but it could be chat rooms, it could be something on their cell phone. I mean, kids are constantly texting, Snapchat, all of these different things, right?
Yes. Yes, and I think kids kind of get a safety with that Snapchat thing because it disappears. So they think that it's gone forever, but that might not be the case. You know, as we all know, there's screenshots, there's all of that kind of good stuff. So some of these people are asking for inappropriate pictures, and kids are doing that. And then that picture is out there forever and ever on the wide, you know, the World Wide Web. So just making sure that your kids understand what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. Facebook people, I think people find some kind of safety and age verification things like Facebook. You're supposed to be 13 to have a Facebook page. Well, how many kids do we know that are not 13 that have a Facebook page? Or there might be something that you're not supposed to be over this age to be in here. Well, somebody can do the math real quick and say, oh, this is the year that I need to put in. So just because there's an age verification doesn't mean that whoever's in that chat room or wherever is going to be the age that they say that they are.
When I have a hard time wrapping my head around this, and Brittany, you made a good point a minute ago. You're much younger than I am, so but this was stuff that was coming out as you were a young person. Well, all of this is brand new to me, but it's like a natural rite of passage for our kids.
Yeah, and I think a lot of parents too think, well, I don't know anything about that, you know, and they try not to get involved with the internet, or it's just games, and, you know, what harm can come from that. But staying involved in your kid's life is really important, and that means to understand what games they're playing. Just sit down and ask them and just say, hey, what kind of games are you playing online? Do you talk to anybody? Are there any chat rooms in there? And if so, are you talking? I think just being involved in all aspects of your child's life is one of the best protections we have against any type of child abuse and child sexual abuse. You want your kids to feel comfortable talking to you about these things. And when you and Elizabeth brought up, know their password so you can check their phones and let them know that you're doing that. And there may not be anything bad going on, but at least they know you're watching.
So okay, help with this for those parents out there who are saying, you know, I tried that. I was accused of you know, being the hovering parent, the one that, you know, doesn't trust that my mom, dad, they don't trust me, that kind of thing. Because that's an argument I'm sure that a lot of parents have had with their children.
Right. One of the things we talk about in the darkness to light trainings that we do, and that really focuses on protecting your kids offline, but it does talk about online safety as well. And that's just asking questions, letting them know that here are the statistics and this is why I'm asking. Did you know that 1 in 10 kids are sexually abused for their 18th birthday? How do you feel about that? And I know, like, with the younger kids, it might be kind of hard to talk about these things, but talking about it is the best protection we have. And so letting them know that these are the types of situations that are happening and this is happening in our community and I just want to keep you safe. Just be honest with them. Let them know why you're looking. It's not that you don't trust them, that you just want to keep them safe.
It's
easier said than done.
Yeah,
sure.
The because I said so only works so much, I guess, Elizabeth. But I mean, it is important. That's what we're trying to stress today. It's important that you know these things about what your kids are doing online.
Right. And you know what? Be the hovering parent is what I would say. Like, you know, you're not there to be your kid's friend.
So sue me, right?
Yeah. So you're there to be their parent. If that means you've got to turn the Wi-Fi off at night and take their phone, do it. I mean, you know, it's about protecting your kid, protecting their innocence and protecting their childhood. And that's what we're all about. So
I love the idea of turning, and I didn't know that you could really do this. Yeah. I think I'd heard about it, but I've never done it. And, you know, my daughter's 6 years old, so she doesn't have a phone or anything, but she wants one already. And, you know, all of her friends have tablets and things, but, that I've heard about turning your Wi-Fi off at night, and I think that's a great idea, because if she wakes up and wants to sneak and get a phone or a tablet, she doesn't have any access to any chat rooms or social media if she wanted to, because the Wi-Fi is off. So I think that's just a clever, unique way of just trying to protect your kids.
Some great information, Brittany. Elizabeth, thanks for coming in to share that with us today.
You're welcome.
And that's going to do it here for the show. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, friends. Thanks for listening in. This is Lenny Farmer here for Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home. Wow, cremation seems to be the talk of the day, and you probably have a question or two about whether that should be your final choice, because so many questions surround this method of finality to life. Let me set your mind at ease by answering your plaguing questions. You can reach me at 615-893-2422 to set up a time for a no-pressure question and answer period to help determine what is best for you. Jennings and Ayers.